From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, this is Eastern Standard. Hello, I'm John Hingsbergen. For many in our nation, Memorial Day has become known as the unofficial start of summer. But of course, it has a meaning that dates back over 150 years. We're wondering how you think about Memorial Day. What do you think about when Memorial Day comes around? Has the meaning of the day been diluted over the past century or so? Alongside the more serious and solemn events being held across our state and nation, cookouts and parades are going on or will be going on over the weekend as well as on Monday. How do you commemorate Memorial Day, and whom will you be remembering this year? We'd like to hear from you and invite you to get on board right now and join our conversation. You can share your stories of those who have served or share your comments on the holiday today. The number to do so, 800-621-8890. You can email your comments to wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Post them on Facebook or send us a tweet at WEKUEST. But feel free to pick up the phone and give us a shout right now, 800-621-8890. And it is my pleasure to welcome to the studio three guests for this week's program. First up, we have Jerry Cecil. And Jerry is actually, I guess we call him a decorated member of the service. He's a Distinguished Service Cross for service in Vietnam. At the time, was a lieutenant in the United States Army, and he served as an instructor at West Point Academy. Additionally, he graduated from that institution before serving in Vietnam. And since retirement, Jerry has continued to remain active and involved in Veterans Affairs. Jerry Cecil, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, John, for having us.
Tom Baker is currently in his 12th elected term as chairman of the board of the Bluegrass Military Affairs Coalition and founder of the BMACKY Wounded Warriors Program. In addition, he's serving his second term on the executive committee of the Kentucky Commission on Military Affairs, a position to which he was appointed by Governor Steve Beshear. And Tom, in 1969, volunteered for service in the U.S. Army, was deployed to Europe during the Vietnam War to serve in the 6th Battalion, 40th Field Artillery, 3rd Armored Division, and was honorably discharged from active duty in October 1971. Tom, thank you so much.
Pleasure to be here with you.
And likewise with us, Mike Leverton, former Sheriff Mike Leverton. Mike has a career that spans time in the U.S. Marine Corps, 4 years as Scott County Sheriff, extensive time serving as an instructor with the Department of Criminal Justice Training in Richmond. So he's in the neighborhood for the program today at WEKU. Mike joins us as past Commandant of the Bluegrass Marine Corps League Detachment 1012 to discuss their plans for Memorial Day. Mike Leverton, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, John.
And gentlemen, after that long set of introductions, let's talk a little bit about Memorial Day. And let's just kick it off with, well, you guys are veterans. You've served our country. Obviously, Memorial Day is to honor those who really have passed on, those who gave their all. But let's go around the table here and talk about what Memorial Day means to you, Jerry Cecil.
Well, I think Memorial Day is a very special day, and I put it right up there with Veterans Day. And it's important because if we don't have time to pause and reflect, as Tom said earlier, even for a moment, to recognize the sacrifice of these people, then we're going to lose a lot of our heritage. So it's very important to me, and I think about the veterans I served with every day of my life.
Tom Baker.
John, I had a good friend from the earliest time I can remember, Walter Anderson, and he joined the Army out of high school, and in his first week in Vietnam, the convoy he was in was ambushed, and he was blown up by a mine and lost his life.
First week in Vietnam.
Didn't complete full 7 days. And I think of Walter every day. And on Memorial Day, I think of his name on the Vietnam Wall in Washington. I have copied that name many times, rubbed it, and sent it to friends and so forth. And I've been to the National Cemeteries and looked at all the white headstones, of course, and the various memorials, and those images always come to mind, and they mean one thing to me, and I hope they do to all other Americans. It's the freedom that we enjoy. They've been born by the sacrifice, the service, military service of the men and women who are represented under those headstones.
Mike Leverton.
I have some very fond memories of Memorial Day and Veterans Day. Of course, I was born during World War II, and between the time of World War II and Korea, as a young man growing up, I was very proud to stand on the street and watch my father, who was a World War II Army veteran, and all of my uncles marching in the Memorial Day parades and the Veterans Day parades. And I can remember one time as a kid watching my dad. He was carrying the American flag down the street. And in those days, those parades were big, and they really meant something. And from the parade, they would actually go on into the cemetery and put on services there. And, of course, the families all went along. And just to sit and watch that, and, you know, I was kind of raised listening to my dad and my uncles and all the stories they told about World War II and the sacrifices. And when my time came, I actually looked forward to going into the service. My dad was a little disappointed that I went into the Marines instead of the Army. But still in all, those days, they bring back memories to me. And now I am actually involved in the services here in Richmond in Madison County. And I reflect back on those experiences as a kid, and I take great pride in being able to honor those veterans that are very responsible for us having the freedoms and the lifestyles that we have today.
Do you all agree that Memorial Day has changed in general in terms of its observance, or has it changed during your lifespan?
Well, I don't think it has among veterans, just like Mike just said. You know, we are so committed to remembering the sacrifice. Now, I think with the younger generation, but then there are programs within VSOs and organizations like Tom that go out and promote awareness about Memorial Day and what it means, putting flags on headstones, having services, all those kinds of things. So I think my point is it's incumbent upon us veterans to educate the next generation if it is changing.
I mean, some of us actually grew up when folks would refer to it as Decoration Day. When you talk about putting flags and flowers on headstones and so forth, it was about decorating the graves of those who served.
John, 12, 14 years ago, I became actively involved with the Memorial Day service at the Lexington National Cemetery, which is inside the Lexington Cemetery, West Main Street, Lexington. In those days, we had about 50 to 60 people showed up every Memorial Day, and that happened for a couple of years. And I just decided that wasn't the right thing that was happening. 2 years from the first time that I went to the next time, we had over 600 people attend. And it, as Jerry said, it was a matter of letting people know that it happened. We have been promoting that every year since then, as well as the Camp Nelson Memorial Day service and all the others across Kentucky that we know about. We put them on our website, bmaconline.org. And people do turn out to them. We see increasing crowds. And, of course, the war had a lot to do with this. I mean, we've been at war now, you know, well over a decade, going in 13 years with active duty in position in theater. So that raises awareness.
Thanks, Tom Baker. Mike Leverton, has Memorial Day changed from your point of view?
Well, as far as the service and what it represents, that has not changed one bit. The participation, I have seen decline. I've seen it go down. I've seen it come up. I guess it depends, you know, if there's a war going on. You have to remember that after World War II, during World War II, there was over 16 million people served. And we're down to about 2 million of them that are still living. So the rest of them are the veterans that we go to the cemeteries to honor. And those families, today the generations is the second and third and fourth generations, and visiting the cemetery is just not a family tradition on a regular basis like it used to be when we were growing up. But still in all, when you're talking Memorial Day and Veterans Day, people turn out and they come to pay that honor to those. And here in Richmond, we have a pretty good turnout. We put the services on at two different cemeteries, the Richmond and the Memorial Gardens. What I'll be doing when I leave here today is putting up the flags on the veterans' tombstones. And that is a really big job because there are so many of them. And trying to find enough people to help us is a major task in itself. And I was just really, really in awe of this year that the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, the ROTC programs have all called and said, we want to help you put those flags up. And,
wow.
Of course, we welcome that. So, yeah, in that respect, I think we're coming back.
John, let me say something about what Mike just said. About 6 years ago, and I'm on the cemetery board in Winchester, and we had this unawareness for the young kids. And so we enlisted the JROTC to go in, first of all, identify. Well, of course, it snowballed, and now it's their program. And so every year we get a new bunch of young people that are learning where the graves are. We had these bright young kids come in and even GPS the whole cemetery, so it's like a mailbox. Hmm. They just take a computer printout and walk down the rows. And then we even have people come in on Memorial Day, the traditional people, that say, you didn't mark my granddaddy's grave. And we said, thank you for the information. It'll be marked from now on.
Wow. This is Eastern Standard, and this week we're talking Memorial Day. And we're interested in real-life stories. We have three gentlemen here with some very definite real-life stories of their military service. We're interested in hearing whom you will be remembering on Memorial Day. Everyone who served, of course, was not a white man, as the group that we have gathered here today. Let's talk about your service. Maybe you were in a relatively unique situation when you served in the military. Maybe you're an active member of the armed forces today. Or whom are you remembering? Family member, friend, someone that you've known over the years? Does Memorial Day have that significance to you that it is a day of remembering that causes you to pause and think about those who've served our nation? What about patriotism versus nationalism? What about loyalty to your country? We're interested in your personal stories above all today at 800-621-8890. Post some of them on Facebook. We'd be glad to see some posts on our Facebook even after the program. Or send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send us a tweet at WEKUEST. But we'd love to hear the voices of some who have served or some who are honoring others who have served during this week's Eastern Standard. The phone number, again, 800-621-8890. We'll be back with Jerry Cecil, Tom Baker, and Mike Leverton, and hopefully you at 800-621-8890.
Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand, men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret.
This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. We're talking about Memorial Day, our nation's veterans, and especially those who've given their all in service to our country. We're interested in your comments and perhaps personal stories of someone you are remembering this Memorial Day. Is there someone on your mind as we approach Memorial Day, someone you'll be making an effort to honor by going to the cemetery? Is that even a custom that you continue to follow? What if you're younger and never have done that? What do you think about that? Want to discuss that with us and interact with our guest? We are inviting you to do so at 800-621-8890. Tom Baker, Jerry Cecil, and Mike Leverton are here with us. They've served our nation in military service. And we'd like to hear from you and hear your story or your questions for them. 800-621-8890. Gentlemen, let's talk about, I threw out the term before we went to the break about a patriotism versus nationalism. And I think some people worry about that. How would you define patriotism and make that distinction between patriotism and what might be an unhealthy nationalism?
I think that, you know, patriotism, that's us recognizing what Memorial Day is all about. And I think, you know, those of us that served during Vietnam and after Vietnam and all the anti-rioting and demonstrations and everything, and we've come back from that. And now we are honoring all of our veterans as they come back, and, you know, the ones that are still overseas. One of the best things that I would like to talk about for Memorial Day is the service that we do in Georgetown. This has been done in Scott County. This has been done for 60 years. And for 60 years, the veterans organizations go to each cemetery, and they read the names of every veteran in that cemetery. And the crowds that turn out, a little old country church cemetery, and they can't find enough parking places for the people to get in there because they're coming to hear a family name or somebody that they knew that is passed on.
And you come upon a ritual that means something to people.
Yes, yes. And for the national part of it, the all the Memorial Day sales, and we capitalize on those kind of things too. But at least it does put out front Memorial Day, even if it's some kind of an advertisement. It makes people aware of this is Memorial Day. This is a weekend that we should be recognizing and honoring those people that served their country.
And Mike Leverton, you mentioned Vietnam, which is certainly something that needs to be mentioned during our program today. You all served during the Vietnam era. Many folks who came back from Vietnam service did not feel very well welcomed as they returned or honored for their service. How about your experiences with that? Jerry, I know you received the Distinguished Cross in service from the country.
My experience might have been a little bit different because I was what they used to call a lifer. I came back and went back to Fort Benning and stayed in the mix, so I stayed in the same culture, basically.
You didn't come back to civilian life.
No, didn't come back to civilian life. But as Mike and Tom have referred to, when I went back to my little community in the mountains, everybody essentially had been in World War II. They might have been a Rosie the Riveter, but it was just an accepted part of your generation in my case. And so I have friends that I see a couple times a year who I serve with that had different experiences. But no, I just went back in the Army and continued on.
Tom Baker?
It was a different experience coming back from World War II, as Mike has talked about, with 16 million people participating. Vietnam, 8 million participated overall. But it was a long, drawn-out period, and there was a lot of opposition, obviously, to sending any military people there to start with. A good number of the military people that went didn't have any choice. They were drafted. And, you're on orders. You do what you're there to do. When you came home, there was the public opposition to the war. And unfortunately, an awful lot of Americans confused the soldier with the politician. And I think that the Vietnam War military members were slighted because of that, and they were overlooked for the service they had provided to this nation. They didn't choose to go to that war. They were told to go there, and they fought bravely. They never lost a battle, never lost any engagement. And General Giap, afterwards in his bio, said that the war was actually won, and they were ready to surrender in Paris until they saw that the politicians were ready to give it up, and they took advantage of that.
Were you personally honored, welcomed when you came home from service?
No, not really. I came home from the service, and actually in the airport on the way back from New Jersey, I was surrounded by a group of people in white sheets and with tambourines and drums. I had no idea who they were. They came from all places, and they just surrounded me. And then they started punching and spitting on me and so forth. I had on a uniform, and some service member, police officers in the area came up and dispersed them and took me into the restroom, got the uniform cleaned up and so forth, and I came on home. I came out of the field. Was home within about 24 hours and, jets into the United States.
What year was this?
1971. Hmm. And so it was an experience that I'll never forget, obviously. I didn't know who they were or what they were doing. I didn't know who these people were dressed like ghosts.
Hmm. Well, there's one story of a serviceman returning to the country after serving his country, serving his nation. We're interested in other stories. And who are you are remembering on this Memorial Day? What do you think about this idea of observing Memorial Day and the best way to do so? Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com, or give us a call, 800-621-8890. Mike Leverton, how about your reception when you returned from service?
Well, there was a big change from the time I went in the Marine Corps in 1964, and I'm sure these gentlemen can allude to this too. When you went off base, you were required to wear your uniform when you went off base on Liberty. And we wore it very proudly out into town or wherever we went to. You know, after the Tet Offensive 1968-69, soldiers coming home were advised not to wear their uniform, you know, back in the States. And a lot of people would change their uniform, put it in their duffel bag, and put their civilian clothes on, not to be recognized as who they actually were. Today, I see that totally changed. People in uniform today, people applaud them. The parades, when we march in the parades, people applaud all of the military people. We march in the Christmas parades here in Berea and in Richmond, which it's a Christmas parade. It's not a Veterans Day, but we march in it in uniform, and they applaud us when we come down the street. And the one thing I like to do, and I see people doing this all the time, I make it a point. When I see somebody, an older gentleman or lady, wearing something that is military, identifying them as a veteran, I make it a point to go to them and shake their hand and thank them for their service. And if you look at the expression on their face, you know, first, the older members are sometimes shocked that somebody is doing this, and then you'll see that smile come on, and they really, really appreciate us doing that. And I encourage everybody to do that. Thank those people for what they did, because everything we have, they provided for us.
800-621-8890 is our number. We invite you to participate in this week's Eastern Standard as we discuss Memorial Day and those who've served, and especially those who gave their all in service to our nation. 800-621-8890. Okay, gentlemen, the fact that you served, was anyone here drafted? Did you all serve voluntarily?
Voluntarily.
Many people were drafted during that war, as Tom acknowledged a few minutes ago, which I think that certainly was maybe part of the problem a lot of people had with military service. What do you think about the all-volunteer service today? Or, you know, do you think that it's sometimes the nation actually needs a draft?
As a young man growing up in school, I grew up during the draft. And we all knew it was part of life. We knew when we got out of high school we were going to be eligible for the draft. And nobody really, really didn't want to do that until later, towards the end of Vietnam. Then people were avoiding, trying to not be drafted. But my generation, we grew up in knowing that, you know, when I got out of high school, I can go to college and avoid the draft for a while, but then eventually I'm still going to get drafted. So we kind of look forward to it. And when my time come, I took a year to go to college, and then decided at that point in time I had enough education at that time in my life and needed to take a break. And the recruiting officer, the selective service officer, called me and said, "You're no longer in college. You know what that means." And I said, "You don't have to call me. I'm on my way to the recruiting office." Yeah. And so I voluntarily went. But then later on, as the war wore down and all the anti-attitudes and everything, people were avoiding the draft. I personally think that a couple of years in any branch of service, it's not going to hurt anybody. And it, you know, we look for direction. We look for some discipline, self-discipline, and the military can give that to young people today. And I don't see, you know, young people having that same level as somebody that's been in the service and now come home.
John, I'd like to say, and this is going to make some of the people listening to this sound unusual from a military guy, but I have really changed my position. Of course, I was hardline because I was raised around the World War II, Korean War generation. When your generation's time came, you went. But as I've gotten older and matured more, I think every young person needs to do some form of national service, putting somebody bigger than themselves up front. And if they work for the forestry department, or if they work in law enforcement, or you know, some national level program for a couple of years, and then now to shift over to the all volunteer army. The all volunteer army comes down to a question of numbers. We've sustained it for 36, 38 years, but right now, only 3 out of 10 high schoolers can even qualify to get in one of the services. And so, and we know what all those problems are related to, and very little of it is related to attitude. Once you get one-on-one with these kids, they're, if somebody steers them and guides them, they'll do something for somebody else. It's been my experience.
But the stereotype of those who can't make it anywhere else going into the service is pretty well destroyed now? That they're
No. We're getting the, because you have to be physically fit. You know, mentally, you have to pass much higher standards than we did. You can't have too many goof-offs as a teenager and so forth.
Got to watch what they put on Facebook.
That's right. In our day, you know, and of course, this was part of the draft era thing, you know, the get before a judge, you say prison or the Army or something like that. And, of course, a lot of young men got straightened out as a result of it, or women. But I've changed my position.
And as a colonel, you would not have wanted those folks who were there as an alternative to prison?
Well, no, because we got a couple examples of that under a couple of Secretary of Defense called Project 100,000.
What is that? Tell us more.
Lowered the standards, and they scrape up 100,000 more people who they just passed the problem to the Army, to people who couldn't afford.
Was this an occurrence during the Vietnam War?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it was under McNamara's watch.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tom Baker.
John, you know, in today's military, it's a highly technical field. In our day, you needed masses of people. You needed brawn. You needed some thinking and so forth as well. Of course, we had jet pilots and all the technical skills. But today, practically every job anymore is highly technical. If you're not computer literate, you're not going to be in the military today. Just flat out, end of story. Like Jerry said, the amount of information that you have to have, the education, the ability to educate yourself on a continuous basis throughout your military service, whether you're 2 years, 3 years, or 30 years. We're looking for people in the military today who are highly motivated to better themselves and to serve their nation in all kinds of ways. And they have to understand foreign languages, cultures in other nations. I mean, they're going out and they're representing the United States of America all over the world. And we want them to be the best ambassadors and representatives we can. They resort to military force last. Mm-hmm. Kinetic force is the last thing they want to do. But they're trained to do it when it's necessary.
This is Eastern Standard. Our phone number, 800-621-8890. We'd love to hear your stories of military service or someone you are remembering on this Memorial Day. Is that even a custom that you observe? Have you even remembered that that's what Memorial Day is all about? How will you be observing Memorial Day? And will it take into consideration those who have served? 800-621-8890. Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send us a tweet if you can put your message in 140 characters or fewer at WEKUEST or post on the WEKU Facebook page. That phone number again, 800-621-8890. Gentlemen, when somebody, a relative, a neighbor, someone comes to you, a young person says they are considering military service today, what advice do you give, Mike Leverton?
Well, that's a good question because currently my granddaughter is a senior in high school this year, and she is. My family is made up of Army, Air Force, and Marines. And she asked me one day, she said, Grandpa, I think I'd like to go into one of the services. And I said, well, you know, let's go take a talk. Let's go talk to each one of them and see if you can find out which one you think will suit you the best. And we did that. And her ambition is, and I explained to her, you have to finish high school. It can't be like it was back in my day. You have to finish high school. And upon completion of high school, she has made application to go into the Marine Corps. She's testing for the Marine Corps now. Let me take it back. She's getting ready to test for the Marine Corps. She is currently studying to take the test to get into the Marine Corps, just like you would, you know, if you were in a college class. Now, this is something that she has to do to prepare herself for it. And her goal is, not only does she want to serve her country and do something honorable, but she's looking forward to learning a trade while she's in there. And she's got her mind made up that she wants to get in some kind of aviation electronics. And she also wants to get her educational benefits when she finishes her 4 years. She's coming out, going to college, and then she's going to either go back into the service as an officer or pursue some type of a career. All this is made available for her. She has to give the service what they want, meet their qualifications, and in turn, she will reap the benefits of the educational part and learning a skill. So, you know, there's all kinds of good reasons to go today.
Tom Baker, we have about a minute before our next break. What do you advise when people want to consider service?
I try to explain to the young people there it's a vast array of skill sets that are necessary, and the duties are tremendous in service opportunities. You know, we send a lot of military people around the world all year round for disaster relief, emergency, and for health care purposes, and they serve everywhere, every day, 365, 24/7. It's a challenging field.
This is Eastern Standard. We're inviting you to be a part of our program by calling 800-621-8890. How are you observing Memorial Day this year? What about the comparison to Memorial Day's past? Do you remember the term Decoration Day and what that all meant some years ago? We're interested in hearing from you by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com, or by phone, 800-621-8890. This is the time when we're expecting to hear from our listeners, so give us a call to interact with Tom Baker, Jerry Cecil, Mike Leverton. We're talking Memorial Day on this week's Eastern Standard. Again, 800-621-8890.
It's 11:39. You're listening to Eastern Standard on 88.9 WEKU. The phone number to be a part of the program today, 800-621-8890. That's 800-621-8890.
WEKU is supported by Kentucky Monthly. The magazine lets readers explore the people, places, food, events, and culture of the Commonwealth from the comfort of their own homes. More information at KentuckyMonthly.com.
Even after 100 years, the legacy of the First World War lives on in much of Europe.
Some of the problems associated with World War I are still there in the Balkans today.
Touring the sites of World War I in the former Yugoslavia and in Britain. Plus, Jane and Michael Stern share what their favorite road food cooks in the South tell them when they ask for their secret ingredient.
The answer to that is we cook it just right.
It's all on the next Travel with Rick Steves.
Tune in for Travel with Rick Steves every Saturday morning at 6. On 88.9, listeners supported WEKU.
Memorial Day, as we know it, had its roots in the American Civil War. And it has certainly evolved since those days. We're interested in your observance, your celebration, if it were as you were, of Memorial Day this year, 800-621-8890, our phone number at WEKU and Eastern Standard, our email address, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Our guests in the studio, Tom Baker, Jerry Cecil, and Mike Leverton, as we discuss Memorial Day. And back to the question, Jerry Cecil, of advice you would give to somebody who's considering military service.
Following on what Mike said about his granddaughter, I've always used this idea that when a young person comes up and asks you about the service, I tell them from the beginning that I'm trying to interest the qualified and not qualify the interested, meaning that if they've goofed off, then they've got to do some work before they can even come back. And, of course, we mentioned during the break the high number the Army has to find, 120,000 in a typical year, in order to get 80,000 through basic training. So everybody that you talk to isn't going to make it, either because of their own shortage or the Army's needs or whatever. But we all interact with kids every day. And, of course, one of the stories that I like very much, like his granddaughter's story. I had this young lady stop by in my hometown and said, "I'm just bored." Well, long story short, I said, "Well, you want a challenge?" She ended up being one of the first women on the Old Guard detail in Washington, 3rd Infantry, the Old Guard. And she now has four kids, and she cherishes that service and has developed a deeper respect for veterans, of course, and in Memorial Day as a result.
Of course, in our listening audience, there are others like myself who are, go back a few years, and I'm hearing about granddaughters and young ladies coming forward for military service today. Is that a bit of a culture change or shock to any of you guys from when you served in the Vietnam era?
I had an opportunity this past September to visit Marine Corps Air Station Cherry Point, North Carolina. And while I was there, there was about 200 of us that were, former Marines. And the squadron, Marine squadron had just come back from Afghanistan and landed. And they held the planes out on the flight deck for us to go out and see the planes and talk to the crews and, just observe modern-day Marine Corps Air Force. And I was amazed out of a squadron of about 12 planes, three of those were piloted by all women crew. And they were coming back from combat in Afghanistan.
A couple of years ago, John, I took a group of individuals out on an aircraft carrier for an overnight so that they could see flight operations day and night and visit with the sailors. And it was on the USS Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, off San Diego. We observed the night exercises and captured all the birds, and the next morning we were up on Vultures Row, and we were observing all of the activity on the deck of the aircraft carrier, and we were having things explained to us. And afterwards, we went down to the deck to, when some of the birds came in, and as the pilots disembarked from their craft, three of them that walked over as they pulled their headgear off were all females. And I learned that 17% of the personnel, almost 6,000 aboard, were female.
It took a while for women to be included in combat zones, let alone actually, I guess they are now able to participate in combat. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't see any big deal about it, particularly as the whole culture has changed in a lot of ways in regard to that. People forget that we lost a large number of women pilots in World War II who were simply ferrying aircraft, and they were testing aircraft and things like this. So there's never been any doubt about a woman's ability to do the mechanical things or whatever. But it's been a cultural kind of a break on allowing that. But I think we're well past that now, for sure.
This is Eastern Standard. We invite you to be part of our program. Maybe you're agreeing with every word you hear spoken in the studio here today. That's fine. We'd be glad to hear from you if that is the case. But you have a question or a comment about something you have heard, we certainly entertain those. How about a story of your own military service or someone you know who served in the military? I assume that there are listeners out there who have family members, if not yourself, who have served in the military. We're interested in your stories at 800-621-8890. We'd love to hear your voice, but if you're a little shy, go ahead and write us an email. There's still plenty of time for you to send us an email to wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Tom Baker, earlier you mentioned the fact that the Vietnam War was a long, drawn-out war. Now we've been at war in Afghanistan, Iraq, for 10, 12, how many years?
13
years. What do you think about that? Are we doing something wrong there?
I don't know that we're doing anything wrong. I think the enemy has something to do with that and the politicians in those nations. We don't make up the rules for the war when we go in, or otherwise we wouldn't have a war. That's why we're having the contest.
What do you think that does to the service or to morale or to the nation in terms of, does it cause us to be a little bit more numb to the fact that we have people putting their lives on the line in service to their country at this point?
Well, if I can respond, just carry on. When I visit military installations and soldiers that are back home with their families, I think the morale is very high. These are dedicated individuals who have made their minds up that they're going to be in the military, and at such time that they decide that this is not something for them, then they usually exit the military and go out their lives.
Well, I would add this in a different way. Most people who are not associated with the military and may not have this sense that we do always want to tell you who the first casualty was and the last casualty, as though a war can have bookends like that. Mm-hmm. But we see it as every single person that served, and particularly those that passed away as a result of that service, are the key. And this is where I'll make the pitch for where you can have a Memorial Day every day of the year if you visit the Kentucky Vietnam Veterans Memorial. There are 1,103 names on a plaza with a sundial, and the sun passes through the deceased name on the anniversary of their death. Now, you got to think about that one a while. And I've been doing this for 25 years over there. I've never been there when there wasn't someone there when I got there or replaced me before I left. And so I've been over there with mothers holding the picture of their 19-year-old son killed in Vietnam, or I've been there with Marines reunions and things like that. So if you really want to get into this notion and commit yourself to recognizing and memorializing people who've served and sacrificed, then it seems to me that you've got to put the effort forth to find out where they are, as Mike said, in the cemeteries and on the ships and everything.
Yeah, I think that if you want to really see what a memorial is all about, you need to visit a national cemetery. Mm-hmm. And we have several of them here in Kentucky. If you're ever in Washington, D.C., I make it a point that I always go to Arlington to pay my respects to those people that have paid the ultimate sacrifice. And one of the graves that I visit every time, and I go stand at his foot of the grave and I salute him, is one of my heroes, and that's Audie L. Murphy. And most people don't even know who Audie L. Murphy is anymore, but he was the most decorated soldier in World War II. There are national cemeteries. Just walking through the cemetery, you can see the pride that we take in honoring those people. It's not like a regular cemetery at all. If you've never been to a national cemetery, you owe it to yourself to go.
We're talking Memorial Day on Eastern Standard. 800-621-8890 is our phone number. Let's talk to Henry. We understand Henry's on the road, hopefully in a safe place there while calling from on the road. Go right ahead, Henry. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning, and I want to thank your guests for their service. I'm a retired colonel of Special Forces. I spent 30 years active in reserve, most of it in Special Forces and Special Ops. I wanted to comment on the topic of women in combat, and for many years I felt, and I don't have any empirical evidence to support this, but I felt like the best place for women to start was in the cockpit, and that's because there's less teamwork involved in flying a fighter airplane than there is in, say, being an infantry platoon leader. But as women have engaged more, especially my daughters and children of her age, she's in her mid-30s now, began to play team sports, began to play soccer, began to play basketball, began to play more team sports, I think they understand a little more the concept of teamwork, and there will be women leading infantry rifle platoons in my lifetime. I fully think that's going to happen.
An interesting point, the issue of teamwork in the military.
John, we constantly look for the young men and women who are outstanding performers on athletic fields as well as in their academic pursuits. Just as our caller mentioned, teamwork is highly important in the military. And with today's technical advanced military, it's even more important maybe than ever before.
Henry, thanks for your call, and thanks for your service to our nation. 800-621-8890, our phone number. Whom will you be remembering on this Memorial Day, if that is a factor in your life? Do you think of Memorial Day as a time for remembering those who've served? 800-621-8890. We'd love to hear your story or your comment in reaction to something else that you've heard on the program today. Gentlemen, we have Tom Baker, Jerry Cecil, and Mike Leverton in the studio. A big controversy, big issue these days is the nation's service to the veterans. I guess step one is getting people eligible for that service, getting them into the system. They come home, and what is it, taking years to get access to services that they deserve, that are promised to them? What do you think about all that's going on there?
Well, now there's an easy, smooth handoff. When they go from the active service, they're automatically enrolled in the VA. And then when the Army or Marine Corps gets with them medically, then that's transferred over. And then you very quickly have to go to an individual need. Does somebody need something right now? And my take is on it is that, and I've watched this for years like these other gentlemen have, but this really comes down to Congress and funding. You can have all the fixes in the world, but if the Congress wavers on providing the money, then you can only have so many doctors and so many beds, things like that.
You know, in 2004, a small group of us fought hard to keep the Leestown Road VA Medical Center in Lexington. The CARES Commission had stricken it from the list because we were a dual-campus facility. There were eight of us in the United States, and we had to fight all the way to the Secretary of VA and get him to come in here to see this facility. And upon his seeing it and listening, he committed that he would not have it closed. And lo and behold, here we are. That is huge services now to the veterans who are here. It serves all of eastern, southeastern Kentucky. It was paid for many years ago, not only in money, but in the service and sacrifice of the veterans from this area. They would have had to go to Cincinnati or Knoxville for services had they not had it.
Let's go ahead and get Bill on the air. Bill is calling from Lexington. You're on the air. Thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Thanks for letting me on. I served in the early 70s, 2nd Armored Division, and the Scout Platoon with 1st Cav. To the Marines that are sitting there, sympathize. And I just wanted to make a comment. You talked about the length of the war that we've been in. And my only comment to that would be if our politicians, it was mandatory before they could ever serve our country in the way they do, that they had to serve in the military, I don't think we'd be in 13-year wars. I think our politicians are, especially our president, they're completely detached. I don't think you can understand the military and what it's like until you actually serve. It's just my opinion. It doesn't mean it's right. I just wanted to make that comment.
Bill, thank you for that comment. Thanks for calling 800-621-8890. We might have time for one more caller if someone does get on the line here. Gentlemen, also, the other thing I'd like to acknowledge is a lot of people who served come home with traumatic brain injuries and emotional problems and so forth. And, of course, the Veterans Service assists with that. I assume you all think maybe we ought to consider them, keep them in mind on Memorial Day as well.
John, you know, one thing that we've talked about here today is that people have to understand that soldiers and sailors and airmen, we don't make wars. The politician makes wars. And the politicians are more than willing to spend billions of dollars to train us, to outfit us, and to send us into war. But they're not spending the billions of dollars on those coming home that are injured in one way or another. And we need to be equally financial responsibility for that as we are for the cost of sending them over. Let's take care of them when they come home.
Speaking of which, let's briefly speak with Mark from Berea, an Iraq veteran having trouble getting benefits from the VA. Mark, go right ahead. Are you there, Mark?
Hello.
Yeah.
Yes, this is Mike. I have not been able to get a 214, a DD-214, your record of service, after my second stint of service after the Marines and the Coast Guard. The Hall of Records doesn't seem to have it, and this shows one of the big broken loops where veterans can't even access their records. And these people are dying every day. They are homeless. They don't have jobs. And if we don't call attention to this now and we don't find a way to bridge the gap between the Vietnam veterans who are dying now and the new Iraqi and Afghanistan veterans and fight this as one unified force, like the gentleman said, through Congress and funding, if you want to build $3 billion planes, then fund a $10 billion VA. Give them $10 billion to set their systems back straight. And if you're not willing to do that, then don't go to 13 or worse.
Mike, we're going to let you have almost the last word in the program. Thanks for calling. It's, Jerry, you have a brief comment.
No, Mike, why don't you call the station, leave your name and information, and get in your 214s a piece of cake.
Okay, or send us a note to the station and we'll forward it, but send it by email. We are just about out of time. Briefly, gentlemen, 10 or 15 seconds each, how are you observing Memorial Day?
Well, I will be spending it in both cemeteries here, actually putting on the celebrations and ceremony that day in Richmond Cemetery and the Memorial Garden. So I'm involved all the way through Monday
night. You got plans. That's Mike Leverton. Tom Baker.
I'll be at the Lexington National Cemetery, as I have been for the past 14 years.
And Jerry Cecil.
I'll be at the Winchester Cemetery and then over at a dedication at the National Guard on their new memorial, as a matter of fact, Frankfurt.
Gentlemen, thank you for being here with us. Thanks for your service to our country and for participating in Eastern Standard on WEKU. Our program is a service of Eastern Kentucky University at WEKU. Our associate producers, Richard Turner, Logan Riley, and Andrew Moorhead. Our technical director, Jonice Franklin. On the phones has been Julie Tennell. Thanks for being with us for this week's Eastern Standard on WEKU.
Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him